Welcome to Africa's LSP podcast, your preferred podcast on the language services industry in Africa. In this third episode of the podcast, we discuss the state of the African LSP industry with Johan Botha, Director of Folio Online, a company based in Cape Town, South Africa. Thank you so much, Mr. Johan Botha, for joining us for the third episode of Africa's LSP podcast. And I would like to congratulate Folio Online, of course, for several awards that you have been granted. The recent one, I think, was in 2019 by the Common Sense Advisory, where you were ranked among the top three LSPs in Africa. And this is really significant. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
All right, so Folio Online was founded in 1988. That's really a long time ago. Can you tell us a bit about, first of all, yourself, introduce yourself, and then you can tell us about the experience of Folio Online in the industry.
Yes, as you mentioned, I'm one of the directors of, actually co-owner of Folio Online. We're based in Cape Town in South Africa, and we've been in providing African language services, well, language services in general, but specializing in African languages for 30 plus years. MD in 1988 decided he wanted to move away from academics and started a freelance career as a translator. And I guess he was doing well, and then someone asked him, can you do this language? And then he said, searched around, and I believe he found some people. And then they say, okay, great. Can you then source this language? And I think he saw the need at that time in South Africa only of actual translators. They were few and far between. And the business grew from there. And I believe it was in 2008, thereabouts, he decided to start the international part of the business. We're actually generally known as the Folio Group, with Folio Translation Consultants being only working with South African clients, and then where I am, Folio Online, working only with international clients. But we actually consider it as the same company. We share the same offices in Cape Town. And yes, things have been growing rapidly. I think the first Common Sense Advisory or CSA recognition already came in 2010, being one of the top five biggest in Africa, and then a couple of years ago being in the top three, which I guess showed that people are really interested in expanding into Africa. So the variety of languages, the 2,000 plus languages in Africa is untapped, mostly. And international clients especially are very interested. I think there's a large buying power in Africa for variety of services, and people realize, sometimes strangely enough, not in the countries themselves, but international clients are realizing that people work better when they are working in their mother tongues. We see the need of people wanting to go to Africa and provide their services, not just services, but providing medical services and telecom and whatever. You're seeing growth in Africa, in various parts of Africa, to a lesser extent in some parts, and the explosion in other parts. Over the past 30 years, we've built up a network of resources all over. So we can focus on, or we can provide most of the big languages, but I think if you give us a little time, we should be able to source most of them. Obviously, if it is written languages, it should be possible with some canvassing and getting in touch with hundreds of our resources that we've and connections we've built up over the years. We should be able to source most languages. We haven't seen people requesting languages in the past 2 years, 3 years of languages that even I, who's been in at the company now for 16 years, have never heard of. So it shows that the expansion in Africa is big and the need is big. The opportunity for translators and language service providers in Africa is huge.
That's fantastic. And I'm very much interested in the aspect of local languages in terms of demand and all that. But before we go there, I want to have your perspective on the LSP industry in Africa. Is it an industry that is easy to understand? Do we know the various structures in place? Are we able to really understand really what is pertaining in terms of how many LSPs we have, what they are doing, and various other aspects? What is your perception about the industry in general?
I think the first question you should perhaps ask is how or what one should ask is what do you see as a language service provider? Is that someone that provides just more than one language? Is it a multi-language vendor? Is it someone who provides more than just translations? If I can take ourselves as an example that truly provides a large number of languages. We focus not on translation only. We provide a large number of services: voiceover, subtitling, localization, SEO, things like that. If you look at that, the market isn't, or the LSPs in Africa, there aren't a lot on that scale. But if you just speak about smaller companies that provide a few languages, they're moving into various services, then I think, obviously, I don't know the exact figure, but I think it's growing rapidly, and I'm seeing that especially in Kenya, Tanzania, Ethiopia, thereabouts. That part of the country in terms of LSPs is exploding. With Central Africa, they're still not quite there. Usually when we speak to people there, or we have contacts there, they call themselves an LSP, but generally they don't provide more than one or two languages, and many times only translations. I think it's growing as people realize that, listen, I can make a business of language. I've studied translation, for instance, and I know some of my fellow students can do various languages. So let's see if we can work together and create a large company. We've built up relationships with smaller LSPs in various industries, people that we've been working with for 10 plus years. In terms of size, mainly it's North Africa, Egypt. Usually, if you go to Common Sense Advisory, you have people in Egypt and Southern Africa who's up there. I don't know the exact number, but what I can tell you is it's growing tremendously.
So basically, what you're saying is that we have a lot of companies providing translation and interpretation services, mainly.
Yes. But as the need grows, I say to people, you've been helping us with translation services, but can you do voiceovers for us? Do you know of someone that can do some localization of things for us? And generally they are pretty keen on doing it. So there is a lot of opportunity to actually do it and get involved. My experience is that Central Africa and West Africa is still growing a lot, but especially West Africa, I've seen in some countries, Ivory Coast, Senegal, thereabouts, Guinea, seeing a huge growth in that area. One thing that I think is important is colonial languages, your French and Portuguese and so on, is still huge, but there is definitely a move away from that. So we have not just our company, but smaller companies have the opportunity to expand. If you are in, I don't know, if you are in Ethiopia, see if you can reach over the border to Sudan to find some people you can work with, build up relationship like that, and then provide that service, advertise that service. You come to us, we have a lot of people in Ethiopia, and say to us, listen, Johan, Folio, we've been providing Ethiopian languages for you for a while, but we've made some contacts in Sudan or Somali and so on. Do you need that? And generally, it's we would say yes. We know you. We like you. We would trust you to handle that. It's for a company of our size, it's just easier to work with a single vendor. We have thousands of people on our books, but if I have someone that I've been working with for 10 years provide 10 languages to me, that is so much easier for us. So yes, I think Africa is exciting. It's exciting to be in this industry in Africa, because each day is different.
I totally agree. And coming back to African local languages, do you think that generally there is a global demand for those languages?
Yes, definitely. Again, if you look at West Africa, generally in the past, we've only done French. You go to a country like Senegal or Ivory Coast or so on, and people say to us, can you provide French? Then we say, yes, we do, and we do the French thing. But lately, they say to us, can you do French and this language? And then we say, yes, we can sort it for you. And then it goes really well. And you see after a year or so that they see, or that clients request only that language. French then falls away. For instance, if you go to sort of moving south a bit, and you go to Angola, where Portuguese was dominating, the past year, It actually, I think the past 6 months, we're seeing an increase in indigenous languages of Angola that clients want to target. It's a surprise to us, because we've been providing Portuguese for so long, decades, for Angola. So it's interesting for us to see that general move away from. Sure, Portuguese in Angola will always be there, but clients will then see the need, the opportunity to not only work in Angola, you have a niche market that you're selling something, and you see that indigenous people or that those native speakers of a language is your biggest. Is your biggest client, is your biggest user of the service, and generally if you provide a language, people would click on that language. I don't know, say you're on a website or an app or something, people would click on that language, and you see your market grow for that, and then you realize people would they can use Portuguese, but they like the fact that you are thinking of them, that you are catering for them. You don't provide a Portuguese for Portugal and just use it like that for Africa. You don't take French from France and you just force it on Africa and think it's going to work.
So that said, I really think that demand is going to increase, expand, and somehow we might not be able to meet the demand in a few years. So how do you think that African LSPs can scale up? Because I think scalability is really an issue for some LSPs, or let's say translation and interpretation companies in Africa.
The thing is, people should educate themselves on the market. You can't say that you're a translation service provider and you don't know what is happening in your market. Is you go to Kenya, is Swahili the only language that you see growth in? Or do you see other languages that is slowly but surely coming in? Growth opportunities are huge, but I also think many times African LSPs and African translators aren't doing enough to educate themselves about the industry. They can't sit around and wait for work to come to them. You can't say to the client, listen, I don't know what that tool that you want me to use is. I've never heard of it. They need to educate themselves on what the need is and say to the client, I'm not familiar with that CAT tool or so on, but let me find out for you. Let me do it. There's still too much of a lack of saying to them, to the clients, listen, I can't do it. I can't work with this CAT tool. Please export it for me in Word. Generally, if it's a very small language and an unknown language, clients are understanding. They say, okay, yes. But if you are a language and you're competing with other people and someone is going to save the client time by knowing the CAT tool, the people that keep saying export it to me in Word, they're going to just be left behind. So I think there's a huge responsibility for actual people to educate themselves in the tools and what is needed by clients. So I think the burden is not only on LSPs, but the burden is on translators themselves. They have to empower themselves. They have to study the industry. I know that in many cases, formal education in the industry is challenging. But well, if you go to YouTube, there are courses on just about everything, anything. Sign in for a course. We're global. You don't have to do a training session in your country. You can do a training session in any country. So I think that opportunity for LSPs, smaller LSPs, to grow and translators to grow is huge. To me, the potential for growth is huge, but I'm still not seeing the explosion, the absolute explosion that our company has prepared us for. We've prepared us for North Africa, Algeria. We've prepared for Congo. We've prepared for you know what other countries, Cameroon and so on. I want there to be a boom. I want translators to not be able to keep up. They should be in a position where they can really move away from having translation as a backup thing that you do at night to being your career, being your sole income. And that is what I want to see. And I think once people equip themselves with knowledge about the industry tools, how things are working, what clients need, I think then there's going to be that explosion.
Wow, that's a very fantastic observation. And there is really a lot that LSPs can do in terms of learning about the market and learning about Africa in general. And I also believe that some level of investment is lacking. It looks as if LSPs are doing the work, but not reinvesting whatever they get back into the industry. Could that also be a challenge?
Yes, there's still, and that's that I see globally changing, but the competition factor, the antagonism towards your competition is still quite big in Africa. If we take an international association like Gala and they have a conference, they leave their competition at home, their feelings about the other company at home. It's all about growing. It's all about sharing information. And by sharing information, I generally see that there is growth. That to me is a natural progression of it. You're working with people and you're saying, listen, I'm struggling with this aspect of it. Let's get together. Let's have a Google meetup and we discuss that. You don't have to swap clients. You don't have to put your business in jeopardy by giving lots of information and or proprietary information to your competition. But if you can learn from someone that would benefit both of you, why won't people do that? And generally, African people are great. We're a wonderful continent and people working together. But I think in this industry, we still have quite a lot of, I'm going to do the job. I'm not going to give it to you. I'm not going to help you to do the job. We're not going to work together. I think in that sense of it, there's huge progress to be made.
I totally agree. And I feel like we really need a lot of engagement. And that's why we should really try to come together. And it's a reason for the establishment of this podcast as well.
Yeah, I think that's a great, well, kudos to you to see that. And you probably know there was last year or the year before, I can't remember, perhaps 3 or so years ago already, you had the first international or the African Translators Conference, which to me was so overdue. You come together and you speak about Africa. You don't go to an international conference to speak to international people about Africa. You come together with your peers in Africa and you discuss, what can we do? How can we engage with one another to advance the continent, to make it easier for international, not only clients, but international LSPs to work on that? And that international or that African Translators Conference, I think it was held in Kenya or Tanzania. That was, people reveled in that. I know quite a lot of people that went to that and they said, wow, it was so amazing. I found that this person is struggling with the same thing that I'm struggling with. Let's chat over coffee and we find a solution within an hour and you're there. So in that sense, the need is quite big. And I think you and I spoke about professional associations. And I think for those, that is something that's still lacking a bit in Africa. Companies plowing back via a association. Say, for instance, I'm in South Africa and a newly created association for Africa is there. I go there, I give a talk on a CAT tool or a TMS or something and have people learn about that, because not only will it ensure that there's growth in Africa, but would make my life easier. So in that sense, yes, I think companies can do a lot more in Africa to plow back into the market. Our company sponsors, we have quite a lot of interns that we have here. We sponsor a number of people that want to expand. We have a prize for in South Africa, one of the South African universities. We sponsor a prize for the best student in the translation course, just to get things going. I myself or my colleague go to universities. We speak at associations, things. We have podcast like this, which is great to learn, to plow back into Africa, because it's not only great for me to do that, but it's good for business. If I have people that I can count on, that know things, know the industry, it makes my life a lot easier. There is still a lack of people plowing back into the industry. I know we've had a student from Cameroon here who is now one of our main translation providers. He came here, he said to us, listen, can I do an internship? I don't want to be paid. I want to come and learn. He was here for 4 months or 5 months, I can't remember. And he was thirsty. We trained him in tools. We saw his huge potential. And now he is one of our main translators in that Cameroon region, which isn't just good for him, but it's good for me. I say to clients, listen, a client says to us, can you provide a indigenous or a French translation or so on in that region? And I say, yes, sure. I've just the person to do it. I have no problem. They know the tools. We've trained them in the processes, and it's easy. I can send the work to him. I know he's going to do it well. I know he's going to deliver it on time. It literally becomes a way of us sending him the work, he sending it back, we checking, doing some quality control in it, and sending it to the client. And they are 99.9% of the time they say, great, let's go ahead. So I think not only associations, I think their schools of translation are very important. Translators Without Borders is an example of empowering people to actually make a living of it, besides doing tremendous work in helping various peoples and situations, countries and conflict. But they're learning about the industry and they can apply that knowledge to other clients. I cannot speak highly enough of Translators Without Borders. They've done some wonderful work, and I know a number of people who've come to us and said, listen, I've learned this and this and this, this from Translators Without Borders. I can help you apply that in my work. And I say, great, I don't have to teach you the tools. I don't have to teach you the process because you already know it. And they are generally more, if I can use that word, more employable. Probably the most irritating thing if you say to someone, are you a translator? And they ask you, okay, what languages do you do? Did you study? But it's only words. You can say to them, listen, I studied. I myself studied at university. I did a master's degree in translation. Our colleagues did postgraduate degrees in translation. And I think so, plowing back into the industry is, I cannot stress it enough. And I'm not seeing that enough in across Africa.
Mm. I think I totally agree, and I must congratulate Folio Online, because I can feel that you have a lot of passion and commitment to the industry on the continent. And the moment I reached out to you about this podcast, you didn't even hesitate, and you were like, yeah, I'll be glad to join. And that's really impressive. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Now, talking about the COVID-19 pandemic, there's been studies which have actually analyzed or evaluated the impact of the pandemic on the LSP industry. Has the pandemic affected your company, or do you think it has affected the industry on the continent?
In terms of translation work, I've actually seen an increase in work. And if I speak to South Africa, where I'm based, there's, just in terms of life science, just in terms of COVID, it's actually been, if I can use that word, COVID has been good to the language industry in South Africa. You have studies, clinical trials happening. You have information leaflets that has to be disseminated into Africa. You have radio program advertisements, you have leaflets, you have subtitling of programs about education of the virus. So in that sense, you feel guilty to say that it has been good when so many people are suffering. Just this morning, I spoke to someone and I said to her, I think translators shouldn't feel guilty. They should see it as an essential service to mass educate people in Africa to overcome the hardships of the virus. And so in that sense, many people I've spoken to across Africa have said, making people aware of what is going on in regarding the virus, wearing masks, how a vaccine works, clinical trials. I've seen that being services that has increased, I even want to say tenfold, twentyfold, which to me just say to people, if you speak to someone and they say to you, well, it's only words that you're doing, what is it, why is it important? I can say to them, listen, we are literally saving lives. So in that sense, again, it's horrible. The situation is horrible. You speak to people who've lost their jobs, people going on desperate measures, selling their house. They are really going through, we're seeing so much suffering in terms of losing people and so on. But translators shouldn't feel guilty. You shouldn't feel guilty to say, listen, we are seeing, because of this pandemic, we're seeing growth in the industry. Because this is fast-tracked, I think, so much. You say to a client, I need a clinical trial results to be done within 2 days. I don't have time to export it to Word for you. We can't stall many of the other going over the hurdles that many other projects have. This is literally life and death. And I think just as the leaps and bounds that the actual medical industry has done because of this pandemic, I think for a lot of translators, it's been quite a wake-up call saying to them, listen, you have to start pulling up your socks. You have to get with it, because there is no time. And that sort of little push, or quite sometimes sort of a shove in getting them to invest in their own future, that has been great to see, because that things that they can use, hopefully if this pandemic ends soon with vaccines and so on, that is knowledge that they will have for the rest of their lives, and they can plow that back into their future with other domains in the industry.
Johan, thank you so much for these deep insights, and we hope that the industry will really grow. We hope that LSPs will invest in the industry, that they would learn about their various countries, learn about the languages that are more needed, learn about the various services, and of course, like you mentioned, learn how to use the CAD tools so that it makes the work easier for everyone. And then also, we need greater engagement within the industry. And I believe that we can do a lot when we come together. Can you give us your closing remarks? Maybe you have some last observations, comments, suggestions?
Well, I think we've covered quite a lot. As you mentioned, Africa is a wonderful continent. You have the 2,000 plus languages. There's so much opportunity. And I think if everyone works together, then we can really put Africa, so if I want to use that expression, put it on the map, and people saying, wow, I didn't know Africa is there. My company cannot survive, my European company, that I want to expand to, my company literally cannot survive if I don't expand and I don't provide services in indigenous languages. And I think if we put our minds to it, we can achieve anything. We're hard working. There's so much opportunity. There's so much beauty in people and everything everywhere in the continent. So I think, yes, if we should just everyone come together, the things that we can use, the internet, use YouTube, use conferences, use associations, and work together for the better of the industry, because the industry in Africa can only go up. It's a wave that we can't stop, and we had better learn to swim or surf and ride the wave, because then we're going to be great, and we're going to make Africa a huge force to be reckoned with.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Johan, for joining us for the third episode of Africa's LSP podcast. We hope that in the future you can join us again to share in detail. Maybe you have specific expertise within the industry that you can share with other LSPs, and we'll be looking forward to that also.
Thank you so much for having me.